Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. Today I welcome David Eby, a representative for the Ananda Village, located in the Sierra Nevada foothills of Northern California. David Eby, who plays the tour guide in the film Finding Happiness, is the musical director for Ananda and composed the music for the film. Finding Happiness shows an alternative life community with people who seek the resources, connections, and a suitable place where they and their families can develop the highest level for their developing human potential. The goal of Ananda is to seek the means to help people live in harmony and balance. Hello, David.
Hi. So nice to be here with you, Cheryl.
And to have you here. David, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, each guest offers their perspective on ideas for discovering who we are as energy and physical human beings, how we might develop our mind, body, and inner emotions to a higher level, how we may unite our families, workplaces, communities, and nations for living lives for the development of our own personal needs and for an improved world condition. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will consider questions that some of us have asked. What would it be like to live in a really conscious community, one where people live in harmony, collaboration, compassion, cooperation, peace, and love? Can you tell us how you became associated with Ananda Village and with the film, Finding Happiness?
Wow, that will take me quite a while to explain. It's a really, really fun story, actually. So I was at a point in my life where I was just miserable. I was lonely. I was unhappy. And I was looking for answers in all the wrong places, whether it be through prestige or fame and fortune. And I finally came upon the teachings that brought me to Ananda, the writings of Paramahansa Yogananda, who was a great Indian yogi who came to the West in the 1920s and founded Self-Realization Fellowship. And one of his disciples, Swami Kriyananda, was the one that founded the Ananda community here in Nevada City, California, and subsequently many other colonies throughout the world as well. So my first interaction, my first step was actually taken in southern Indiana. I was living a pretty solitary lifestyle, but found this wonderful book called Autobiography of a Yogi, which just explained things that I was yearning for, questions that I didn't even know I was asking. It had just me enthralled in this wonderful, wonderful book. So it's a spiritual classic, Autobiography of a Yogi. And then I ended up on the West Coast in Portland, and we were living in a cul-de-sac where everyone just drives up to the house, goes in the garage, shuts the door, and never comes out again, basically. And I was starting to yearn for community. And so I eventually came down to the Ananda Village in California and spent the past 12 years exploring what it means to be like, to truly live in a community where nothing outside is hired to do. For instance, for every event, we are the setup, we are the presenters, we are the cleanup crew. There is no janitorial services that we call upon, but it's everybody doing everything. And it's not an easy life, but it is truly a life of rich investment.
Well, it's an investment in, I would say, in your inner development of your inner knowing yourself better personally. And this does bring a great deal of peace, as we know, if we start to allow the outside world not to be as important and we begin to go within and to know that a simple life can bring us much, much pleasure, connected to the people we love and to nature, as this community is. But tell us something of the storyline of the film. It's part fictional and part documentary and a real inside look at a spiritual community. Who are the characters? How does the film unfold?
It unfolds with a infomercial, a little video clip of Swami Kriyananda presenting ideas for the challenges that we face in our world today. And it's being watched by a fictional journalist and her boss in New York City, and she is sent out on assignment to see if what we really say we have to offer is true. So she flies out very skeptical, and I pick her up at the airport and play her host and introduce her to the real people here at Ananda Village. And the remarkable thing about this process is that the actor who plays Juliet, her name is Elizabeth Rome, she was featured in American Hustle and L.A. Law, and so she has a very strong background in spirituality. Her mother was a student of yoga as well, and so she had a fascination with what this might be like. So over the course of the film and over the course of her stay during the filming process, we get to see not only Juliet the character, but also Elizabeth open up to truly experience the beauty that we have here.
Well, I have found that many of the people I have interviewed, artists, musicians, actors, philosophers, poets, we're all on a spiritual quest, each and every one of us on this planet. Some of us have not awakened and remembered that yet. But what you described at the beginning was the opening of your heart, or the questioning and the feeling that there was something more to what you were supposed to be doing in life. And I imagine creative people are open to downloading the beauty and the inspiration of universal energy, because that is what creation is about, and that's what the film is also about. So I find that very interesting that you just mentioned that she, as an actress, had a great spiritual interest and was probably a very good person to be the lead in the film. Now, let's go on to what are some of the major teachings of these Eastern gurus?
Sure. Very, very broad. And in fact, Yogananda came to the West to bring original Christianity, to bring the teachings that have been used over the past 2,000 years. But you can see that sometimes teachings, when they become so old, they were meant for a specific time and a specific place.
I agree.
And what Yogananda has done is brought those teachings afresh to apply them to our Western lives in a way that is dynamic and is applicable. And he says, don't take my word for it. Practice these. See what happens in the laboratory of your own life. Try these out and see if they are true for yourself.
Yes, from our own experience. Well, I know that the true basis of religion is not really belief, but an intuitive experience. And as we know, intuition is the soul's power of knowing God or divine or creator or universal energy, whatever word we will use for how everything has evolved and is still expanding and evolving. So to know what religion is, or to know what this inner peace or connection personally is through our intuition, is really the way to know source or God. And I know also another very lasting contribution brought by Yogananda to the West, and this is important in almost all of the shows that I do, is the non-sectarian universal spiritual path of self-realization. So let's give our audience an idea of what self-realization is really about.
Sure. It's discovering who you truly are on your deepest level. And when you start opening yourself up to the highest potential that you can imagine for yourself, you start getting a glimpse of something higher that's trying to come through. The fact that Christ consciousness can be achieved, can be experienced, where, and people write about this in all the mystical writings, where they just feel one with the universe. They have these transcendental experiences which show them that there is so much more in our development as human beings, in our path to becoming one with God.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned 2,000 years ago. That was when Jesus was on the earth. And I think his path was really not about religion, in my own personal estimation, but about self-realization and about people personally connecting to this higher source. Mm-hmm. But actually, in my studies, I have found that 4,000 years ago, the Essenes, a mystical group of the Jewish people, were actually very much like Jesus. They were aware of life after death and angelic messages from this higher spiritual source. And actually, Mary, his mother, was an Essene. She was from that group. And she was trained so that she would be able to share the wonderful mystical aspect of finding ourselves, self-realization, self-actualization, self-mastery of our emotions or physical life, so that we could go deeper within to our higher consciousness, which was a true understanding of who we are and our own divinity in its own right, as the spark of God is in each of us. So merging all these wonderful ideas is the Christ consciousness, and it's evolved over a very, very long time. So even before he was born.
And in the Indian tradition, you also have Krishna, and they both share the same root, the same word root.
Perhaps Buddha, too. It is about that self-actualization and self-realization of your personal power to connect to God and live your own life in your own way, true to yourself. You know, the expression, know yourself or know thine self and be true to yourself. It is the way forward for each of us, especially right now in these hectic modern times. So if we consider that the title of this film is Finding Happiness, then we would have to find what happiness really is and what we really want and need, each of us individually. So can you tell us what the concept of happiness is in Ananda and in this devotional way of living passed down by Yogananda?
Sure. In fact, when the title was brought around about happiness, we were like, happiness? That's it? Because for us, Ananda means joy. And through our practice of meditation, that's the true goal of life, is just to find that lasting joy that's not just this, oh, I'm happy, but it's something like,
that's coming from the mind. That's coming from the
ego.
And just trying to settle down the fears of the world. But you're right, true happiness comes from within. And most people are not sure what it takes to be happy, but meditation does take you along. You know, I was driving in the car one day years ago when all these experiences started to happen for me, and I was developing my intuitive healing practice and meeting many teachers. And all of a sudden, I felt the sun coming through the window. I felt my chest expanding, my heart opening, and I took a breath, and I had a moment of such sheer joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, for me, happiness.
Yes.
Happiness in the moment, and in knowing that it didn't matter what was going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
It was within me. And I think that's what we need our listeners to know. Now, there are ways to approach this. We can let go of negativity. We can serve and be kind to others. We can live in the present. We can choose a healthy lifestyle. We can take care of our spirit or our inner growth, our connection to this higher energy. And we can be free, free to say yes and to experience opportunities that come our way. And, of course, we can reconnect with nature. And I think those are some of the approaches to begin to start to visualize what will make us happy. Now, can you tell us something about Ted Nicolau, the film, the
sure.
maker, director? and his motivation for making the film?
Yes. So it was a very careful process to try to find a director who would tell our story well. And at first glance, when I looked up who he was, I found that he was a director of some vampire movies from the cult movies of the 80s. And I thought, oh my gosh, what have I gotten myself into? But he is a completely delightful, insightful, master storyteller. Oh, he did such a beautiful, beautiful job. He's a dear friend of mine now. And he worked with us so respectfully and so creatively and with a vision that was just completely in tune with what we were trying to convey of that exactly what we were just talking about, that happiness is attainable regardless of our health.
And it can be sustained also. It's not only attainable, but can be sustained even when we go through very difficult challenges, because we can return, we can hold the faith and the memory of how it is for us, and we can go back to it and go swiftly through whatever it is that's disturbing us. Now, you know, I think it's very funny that you said he was a director for vampire movies, because I'm beginning to think, you know, everything is energy. How we speak to each other and the experiences we share with other are all a matter of sharing our inner essence or our universal energy or our soul being. So when you think of a vampire, that could be in today's world anyone who tries to take away that happiness from you by bringing you into emotions that will not sustain your own personal growth and happiness. So maybe that's where the whole concept of vampires came from. It's an interesting thought. Many people are aware, David, that the world is in crisis now. How does this film and the philosophy that the film offers suggest we begin to improve the many problems we are now facing? What's the commonality? What is it we need to, each of us, no matter where we live, in a beautiful cooperative village or in the city, anywhere we live, what do we all need to be doing personally?
Well, connecting with others is a huge start, where we don't know our neighbors and we are on our cell phones even at dinner time when we're supposed to be connecting with our family and friends. And so building these connections again in real time with a higher principle, so simple living but high thinking of a way to create a better future.
The higher versions, perhaps, of universal laws of energy or spirit. That's what they mean, perhaps, by bringing heaven to earth, bringing down better values of cooperation and respect for our neighbors and love for ourselves and others. And maybe this respect and willingness to offer help if asked, and a quiet, introspective way to observe and view every unfolding experience without judgment and without the need to force other people to change. They will in time change anyhow, but we can't really make them. In other words, I think there's personal responsibility that must be assumed for every action and word uttered by the individual. And this is how we'll all achieve personal growth. I believe many of the people in your village would speak in gentle tones and kind words. And that could be a beginning for clarity and realizing that every member of the community can be in sync with other members. We're feeling their energy anyhow. We are feeling when they're sad or happy, and we need to respect and honor each soul. And we can do it anywhere, but we have to start one by one. How do people who live in a small, inclusive community maintain a view of the world and different cultures without being observed into a cult-like way of living? In other words, how can we remain a world community with world values that can cross ethnic, religious, and socioeconomic and educational differences?
Just because we are a secluded village here does not mean that we're not connected to the world. In fact, we have a vibrant, dynamic young team of webmasters here that are using our technology to help others in this way. So we have a very dynamic website as well as online classes and an online community. I, as a musician, I'm teaching a virtual choir of teaching through music how people can achieve states of higher consciousness. And so we're using technology to connect in ways that we couldn't have dreamed of doing.
Only 10 years ago, we could not have done what we're doing now. But do most of the people live there all the time? Or do they spend part of the time in the community?
The residents here, for the vast majority, all live and work here. Now, many of them telecommute as well. And I have just recently relocated to our Portland Ananda community in Oregon, and it's been just a wonderful transplanting of the same vibration, different people, different, slightly different expression, but yet that same brotherhood, that same dynamic sense of community.
Well, in doing that, you just opened yourself to observing a little different group of people and lifestyle, just subtly. It might be a subtle difference, but it's invigorating you. And you're, right?
Yeah,
you're,
it's a big difference because it's we're in the heart of an urban area versus the secluded rural area.
Oh, the values and structure can be maintained, right, in that other environment. Well, that's what I was hoping, because it's not possible for everybody to live in these communities, perhaps, but I'd like to bring these communities and these ideas into larger city areas. Little by little, I think as we send out these vibrations and thoughts and connections, it is a way to reach lots of people in lots of different places, and hopefully eventually philosophy and theory and lifestyle will transcend and transform a lot of places. That is the hope, I believe.
And that is our sincere hope as well.
Well, finding happiness is a treasure. This is a quote I'm giving by Christine Northrop, who is a doctor, a physician, an author of the New York Times bestsellers, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, and the Wisdom of Menopause. And she wrote, "Finding happiness is a treasure. A beautiful film about how one man helped create heaven on earth. Very inspiring and so relevant." So how can we interpret the expression? We talked about it before. Heaven on earth. And how can we all begin to achieve it in our everyday, daily living?
And that is the eternal question. If we look within ourselves, and I love the title of your show, The Healing from Within, because as a musician, that's what I work with. I teach workshops for the inspired musician. And when you are moved by a piece, when you sing a piece, when you hear a piece, when you play a piece, you have that opportunity to go within and experience the genuine, the authentic vibration of inspiration, of your source, of however you want to put it. There's something happening within you that you're not trying to make happen. You're not trying to artificially reproduce.
It goes. The vibration goes deep within people. That's why music is universal. It's used within religious groups. It's used for entertainment. It's used privately. And it's a very necessary force for downloading inspiration from above and the beauty of life and the beauty of our higher consciousness as we're evolving. And I was at a convention, this is a few years ago, and the singer walked up to the stage singing, and I just started to cry. Her words were very spiritual and beautiful. It touched my own search for life and what we were here to do, and her voice, the resonance of it. And she was on the show as a guest. She's an English performer. Her name was Lucinda Bliss. Thank you for sharing that beautiful interpretation of music for us, because it's one of the most powerful forces on our planet.
Absolutely.
Words and the vibration of love and music and the beauty of nature are the forces we have. And And it's also all about allowing, accepting, and surrendering to our true nature as the energetic offshoots of this universal source. And to remember that we truly create our physical reality and the world from the thoughts and actions that we exhibit in our everyday living. So our educational and technological goals at this time in our development must be aligned to the development for our children, so they can become healthy, productive members of the community, so they know they have the capacity, knowledge, and wisdom to use the tools of technology that we just talked about a few minutes ago and the resources of our planet in a mindful and respectful way, because our children are the means to establishing heaven on earth, better or improved parenting, more love, and a greater appreciation for the gift of life is where we're headed. And how are the children in the village?
I have an 8-year-old daughter who has grown up here at the village, and she is, like the other children who have grown up here, truly remarkable. When you put a child in a place where people naturally come together who have everyone's best interests at heart and who are genuinely caring and cooperative, it unlocks the child's true nature and allows them to flourish in ways that the most competitive school could never, ever do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't need competition. We don't need our children to be better than anyone. We need them to revel in the knowledge that while we'll never be perfect as human beings, we will be the right way for our own expression and development as we live the days of our life here. So I want to thank you for sharing the film Finding Happiness. And for more information about the people, places, and filmmakers, go to findinghappinessmovie.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, the film Finding Happiness depicts a beautiful community with healthy and caring community members, all bringing their talents to support all the residents and helping all of us to discover once again the truth that it is possible to live a conscious, awakened, mindful existence when it comes from within each person's soul or higher self. The goal over time should be that people can focus on creating this euphoric state of life anywhere in the world, whether it be in the country or in the city. It is not the outside world that creates our reality, but the universe or divinity that resides within each of us that creates our perceptions, our values, and the life we build for ourselves and for those we love and interact with in all our daily activities. Creating happiness, like any other positive event in this life, is a choice and a practice that must be worked on consistently for the best results. Of course, living a simple life in a community like Ananda does not mean that you will not have the resources to enjoy a wonderful meal, nature, literature, shows, and music, and be connected to the outside world. It means that the resources must sustain everyone in the community, and people must share and contribute their energies, thoughts, and actions for the highest good of all. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and welcome you to listen to the shows for Healing From Within on the radio page of my website, CherylGlick.com, where authors in the field of alternative living experiences, energy healing, spirituality, transformation, and the arts explore the wonders of life and how we may improve the quality of living. You may also go to webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you very much for listening.